I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. As it's the eve of Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic visit to Portugal from the 11th to the 14th of May, his 15th abroad, which takes him on a pilgrimage to Fatima, I'd like to bring you a programme from my archives dedicated to Pope John Paul II, who, as we know, had a special devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, and with whom I travelled there for Vatican Radio exactly 10 years ago, on the 13th of May of the year 2000. Stay tuned. Ave Maria, cheia de graça, o Senhor é
convosco. Mary continues to invite us to pray for peace in the world and to do penance in order to bring about the conversion of many hearts.
Pope John Paul there, speaking in English, highlighting the call to pray for peace and reconciliation at the heart of the Fatima message. Only a week after his third visit to this well-known Marian shrine, situated just north of Portugal's capital, Lisbon. A message close to this Roman pontiff's heart. Since the first days of his pontificate, he'd expressed a particular devotion to Our Lady. Already as a bishop, he'd chosen the motto, Totus tuus sum Maria, a Latin expression meaning, I am completely yours, Mary, in dedication to Our Lady. One certainly enhanced later on in life when he was shot at in St. Peter's Square on a significant date, the 13th of May, the very same date the Church remembers Our Lady of Fatima. In Pope John Paul II's mind, a sign rather than a coincidence, convinced it was through Our Lady of Fatima's intercession that his life was spared. That's why on that same date, a year later, he travelled to Fatima on a Thanksgiving pilgrimage, symbolically embedding the very bullet with which he was shot at in the crown borne by the statue of Our Lady.
Quando duramente attingito in quel dia 13 de maio de 1981 fui salvo da morte.
Maria, grazia plena.
Salvo da morte, saved from death by Our Lady. Speaking in Portuguese, Pope John Paul puts this belief in words in the presence of the Fatima faithful many years later. Once again, it was the 13th of May, this time in the year 2000. On a Saturday morning flooded with sunlight, surrounded by over 300,000 faithful, many of whom had reached the shrine on foot, some from the furthest flung corners of this nation, all turning the huge square into what seemed a sea bobbing up and down with tiny white waves. Waves that were in reality white handkerchiefs. It works this way. A statue of Our Lady is carried around the square while the Fatima faithful greet her with their white hankies, all the while singing a moving Marian prayer. A significant tune for Fatima, But more significant still is a particular spot on the square where this statue is normally housed. It's the Capellina, or Chapel of the Apparitions, built over the exact place where the holm oak tree above which Our Lady appeared to the three shepherd children for the first time on the 13th of May 1917 once stood. And Pope John Paul goes back there every time he visits Fatima.
In the Chapel of the Apparitions, I gave thanks for all that God's mercy wrought during the 20th century.
But on this Saturday of the year 2000, the chapel was tough to see. Even from Pope John Paul's privileged, cloistered, grandstand sort of position, with the backdrop of the dominant Yellowstone Basilica, where the tombs of the two little pastorinos, or shepherd children, are housed. It was for them, Francisco and Jacinta, that the Polish Pope was in Fatima, to put them on the path to sainthood, 83 years after that first apparition.
Francisco e Jacinta morto nel dia 20 di febbraio, nel nome del Padre, del Figlio e dello Spirito Santo.
Sitting by Pope John Paul II for the occasion was the third visionary, 93-year-old Lucia. She certainly wasn't going to miss this landmark moment. Exceptionally leaving her Carmelite cloister in nearby Coimbra to spiritually be with the little cousins with whom she shared so much. A charismatic figure with her visionary past, yet physically with, as I was to discover, a tiny voice. It was tough to see in this frail elderly lady the former shepherd girl Lucia dos Santos. Who once lived in the tiny nearby hamlet of Aljustrel, a place I visited accompanied by João dos Santos, a close relative of Sister Lucia's, as the surname clearly reveals. He showed me around the stone cottage where Lucia used to live, next door to which the tourist board has housed some sheep, a reminder to pilgrims perhaps that it was from here the children drove the animals out to pasture each day, only yards away, the house where her two cousins once lived, together with their brothers and sisters. But as João told me with regret, sadly, the last of their surviving siblings died only days before the beatification. It was easy to imagine the children walking through the countryside with its thickets and dry stone walls that once served to herd the sheep in their pens at night. What was hard to imagine was the apparition itself. Not only because of Our Lady's message to the three children to pray the rosary and sacrifice themselves for sinners, but because of how this message transformed the children's spiritual lives. As the postulator for the cause of beatification of these first two non-martyred children of the Catholic Church explains, he's Jesuit Father Paolo Molinari, and he speaks to us of one of these role models for future generations, Francisco.
Francisco, in a special way, was struck by the fact that because of the sinfulness of many human beings, God is sad. Say, Jesus Christ, as the sadness of Jesus, that even the Gospels speak of Jesus was sad in Gethsemane because of all the sinfulness of mankind that was the cause of his death.
But each of the children, Father Molinari added, expressed their spirituality in a different way. Jacinta, for example, had a particular devotion to the Holy Father, an awareness Pope John Paul expressed during the beatification ceremony when he mentioned her name to thank her in a special way for the prayers and the sacrifices she'd made, so the Holy Father could be saved.
Jacinta Marto,
a clear reference to the so-called secrets of Fatima, messages Our Lady had revealed to the children during the apparitions. Incomplete messages, to which it had always been rumoured there was a third part, the keeper of which was Sister Lucia, who on that Saturday, 13th of May 2000, was right next to Pope John Paul II when he asked his Secretary of State, Cardinal Angelo Sodano, to read out the mysterious message with its description of immense suffering. A hush came over the square as the Cardinal's voice boomed out.
A chave de leitura do testu so pode ser de carattere simbolico.
In a symbolic key, the Cardinal read, the vision of Fatima concerns above all war against the Catholic Church by atheistic regimes. He spoke as Pope John Paul II looked on in his yellow vestments in the presence of Sister Lucia, and as the camera crews panicked at the unexpected statement, fishing out the gear they'd only just packed up, thinking the ceremony had ended. And Cardinal Sodano went on to say, it highlights the immense suffering endured by witnesses to the faith in the final century of the second millennium. As Pope John Paul himself had mentioned earlier,
quantas vittimas al longo dell'ultimo secolo del secondo millennio.
A message revealing an interminable way of the cross for the popes of the 20th century, including a figure of a bishop in white who falls in a hail of gunfire, presumably a reference to the assassination attempt against Pope John Paul II. What's certain is that this unannounced decision of the Holy Fathers to reveal the so-called third secret contained in a message Sister Lucia had placed in a sealed envelope in 1943 and had remained secret except to the popes until that last 13th of May of the 20th century was to add an even more personal dimension to Pope John Paul II's Marian devotion. Let's put the spotlight then for a moment on some of the more salient aspects of this particular devotion. Beginning from his election to the papacy back in 1978, when he spoke of Mary in his first speech, to his dedicating the world to Mary during a specially proclaimed Marian year, his writing of the encyclical Redemptoris Mater, exalting Mary's place in the Church, and of course his crest, bearing a giant M for Mary, reflected in his interest when travelling to visit Marian shrines across the world, calling them a geography of faith. Shrines like the one in Fatima, so close to his heart. Fatima, where the prayer he liked to lead on the first Saturday of every month from the Vatican, holds such a central place.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ave Maria, cheia de graça, o Senhor é convosco. Bendita sois vós entre as mulheres, e bendito é o fruto do vosso ventre, Jesus.
Santa Maria, Mãe de Deus, rogai por nós, pecadores, agora e na hora da nossa morte.
It's the Rosary, prayed there together with Sister Lucia. But today also prayed ceaselessly in a particular way by the Fatima faithful in the Chapel of the Apparitions. In the very place, the Cova da Iria, where Our Lady first asked the three little shepherd children to recite this prayer for the conversion of the world at the beginning of the 20th century. No coincidence, then, that it happens to be Pope John Paul II's favourite prayer.
Very alive. And dwell especially faithful to the Rosary.
You're listening there to a programme from my personal archive, which I thought I'd let you listen to as I set off to Fatima in time for Pope Benedict XVI's arrival there. By the way, this was the program that was being broadcast on Vatican Radio when our Director General, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi, interrupted all broadcasts to announce the death of John Paul II. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.